Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. So here's a question we've been asking you: to tip or not to tip? From Portland, Oregon, no, I don't trust restaurant owners to adequately subsidize employees. Too much would go into the owners' pockets. Better tips come from better service. Okay, that's one take, but what if restaurant owners did pay their staff at least $35,000 a year, plus health benefits, plus vacation days, company shares, and on top of all that, annual bonuses, but at the same time, did away once and for all with tipping? Well, it would mean that owners and not customers were paying the salaries of restaurant workers, but what would the employees think? Would they revolt or would they like it?
Getting tips, you know, it's very much a boom and bust way of going about things. We'd have some days where, you know, everything is really crazy and busy and you have a lot of money at the end of the night and it's, you know, tiring but cool. And then a lot of days where it might be slower, and when you finally go home, it's pretty pretty depressing because you maybe don't have much money to show for the time.
That's Andrew. He's one of the service staff at Bar Marco. That's a restaurant in Pittsburgh that eliminated the tip-based model in the spring in favor of the salary model, one a lot like the one I just described. Bobby Fry is the owner at Bar Marco, and he's here to explain why he decided to change things and how it's working out down at his restaurant. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks. So I got it right. About $35,000 is what you pay staff. They get vacation days, 500 company shares, bonuses, and no tipping at all. Is that about right?
That's correct. We do not accept gratuity.
All right. So what made you decide to go this route, this sort of revolutionary route for the American restaurant?
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing. I think a lot of people would probably assume that we sat down one day and said, you know what, we're going to eliminate tipping and let's figure out how to make it work. When in fact, we thought that that would be a good solution to three, I would guess you'd call them problems, that we wanted to proactively avoid that hit restaurants between years 3 and 5.
What are the three problems that you were trying to avoid?
Well, the first one is that most of the time, you know, if you've been around for 3 years, that means you're busy and people like what you do. And revenue starts to hide your problems. It's already a very low margin industry. You start to get inefficient with your use of product. Use too many towels, use too much water, and your solution to that is oftentimes to hire a manager who's relatively expensive to police all those costs. The second problem is the imbalance of pay between the front of the house, the people serving your food, and the back of the house, the people preparing your food. And the third is that oftentimes, you know, workers are incentivized to work just the busiest shifts. So then you have too many part-time workers who then end up being the face of your business on maybe the slower days, which creates some inconsistencies with your service. And we really wanted to set this more up like a business.
All right. Well, we talked to some of your staff about the changes, Bobby. Here's what Jocelyn said. She's your service director. Listen.
It gives us the ability to look at each other and say, hey, we're on the same team. We make the same amount of money, instead of kind of being in a cutthroat world, which it can be in the service industry, trying to, you know, take tables from each other. It really makes us communicate better, be organized together. You know, it changes how you view your position as a professional in the service industry.
Now, Bobby Fry, I appreciate what she's saying. I don't expect one of your employees to say they hate your policies while they're on the radio, so maybe we'll take that into account. But, you know, when I first heard about this, I thought it was a little crazy because everybody knows, or at least the conventional wisdom, is that all of the cost in your business is in the labor, and that's why restaurants pay servers $3 an hour and customers make up the rest in tips, because all the cost is in the employees. Now, you're paying everybody a flat rate of $35,000, and I thought, well, that can't work, but I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, here's the thing. You coined the term perfectly, conventional wisdom, which I think was brought about in the 50s by one of my favorite economists, John Kenneth Galbraith, and it means things that sound like they make sense, but they actually don't. So what we did was, you know, I started saying, okay, what would my perfect team look like? And I built that perfect team on many whiteboards and spreadsheets. And then I said, okay, what would I have to pay them fairly and pay them at the industry standard, which would be anywhere from 25 to 32% of your revenue. And then I said, okay, well, what does that revenue look like? And I said, wow, that's like $200,000 less than we even made last year. And what you found out is the real costs are the 40% overhead that are not labor or cost of goods sold, from your rent, your insurance, to all of your hidden costs and you know, we've seen those drop from 40% to 28% just because we brought the whole team into the conversations.
Now, when I was a waiter earlier in my life, I loved the incentive of a Saturday night and going home with a big wad of money in my pocket because the place was so busy. But not everybody necessarily agrees. Listen to Andrew. He's a guy who's worked at several different places around your restaurant.
This kind of mentality allows us to think about this as a career instead of just like a side job. And I've started to realize that it's something I want to do for a longer period of time, that Pittsburgh is a city I want to be in, and the food and drink scene in particular is really an exciting place. And so I want to, you know, put down root. And it's pretty hard to get a mortgage on. I'll make money sometimes, but I'm not sure how much, if you say that to the bank.
Well, Bobby, he's got a point. When I was a waiter, I never thought I would stay with my employer. I was there for a few months or the summer, going to make as much as I can in tips, and then I was out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing is we've had four of our employees in 3 years go on to start their own businesses out of our restaurants. So, you know, I think you can look at it a career, but one way or another, it is not an acceptable business practice to give people wads of cash at the end of the night. It's not a sustainable way to run a business.
And just to talk about sustainability, I know you're getting a lot of media attention, and that's helping the bottom line for sure. But what about customers, your return customers? Do they love the idea of just signing the bottom line and not adding up 20%?
Yeah, I mean, we consulted with a lot of our, you know, our regulars. I mean, you know, a lot of the return customers are thrilled with it. And I think it opens up a bigger conversation in America, which is how do we pay the employees in our society that are on the lower end of the food chain? If you view your labor force as an asset, by keeping wages too low, you're incentivizing managers and strategists and CEOs to undervalue those assets.
Well, they're not just flipping plates at Bar Marco in Pittsburgh. They're flipping conventional wisdom of the restaurant business on its head. Absolutely no tipping allowed. And the servers, well, they get a salary. They have real jobs. Bobby Fry, owner of Bar Marco, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
And a lot of you have thoughts on this. Here's Kelly Curry on Twitter. Calls for change in salaries for servers make me nervous that the industry ladder I've worked my way up is about to be pulled. But other wait staff, they're not so convinced.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii. I was a waitress for 15 years, and the last restaurant I worked in was a James Beard Award winner. We pulled our tips there, which was appropriate, as it really was a teamwork effort going on. And luckily for me, all the restaurants I've ever worked at offered benefits.
From Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm a server, and I like that my income is a direct reflection of my ability to anticipate my guests' needs and make suggestions to suit them. I also build a regular clientele that ensures my income, so a regular salary isn't necessary. Well, that's all for today. If you're new to The Takeaway this week, we want you to be part of our daily conversation, be part of our listener response network by signing up for our text. Now, you'll get one text each day where we ask you a question featured on the next day's show. So your voice becomes part of the on-air conversation with us. Just text the word start to 69866. That's start to 69866. Messaging and data rates may apply. You can reply stop to opt out. Safe travels this weekend. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.